It's time for All Things Northwest with Northwest Missouri State University President Dr. John Jasinski. Each month, Dr. Jasinski visits with community and educational leaders about exciting developments and collaborations happening throughout our region. Support for All Things Northwest comes from Nottoway County Economic Development, coordinating economic development services for the city of Maryville, Nottoway County, and the Maryville Industrial Development Corporation. Their services include finance and incentives development, site location, industrial development, and small business assistance. More at MarylandMO.org. And now, the president of Northwest Missouri State University, Dr. John Jasinski.
Welcome to this month's edition of All Things Northwest, a show devoted to all the good about the people, places, events, and stories of our region. And as you know, we highlight the great work and the great play, the collaboration, and also the developments throughout our region. And our listeners have come to expect there's so much to celebrate about Northwest Missouri, Southwest Iowa, Southeast Nebraska, and Northeast Kansas. We here at Northwest Missouri State University and your public radio partners, KXCB Maryville, KRNW Chillicothe, wish to extend a warm spring greeting to all of our listeners. I'm pleased to welcome you to the April edition of our show. We'll provide two segments this month, as we usually do. In segment one, we feature Greg McDaniel, Maryville City Manager, and Charlotte Dumke, Manager of the Boulders Inn and Suites at Mazingo Lake and Recreation Park. In segment two, we feature Ben McCullum. Listeners, you know he's Northwest Missouri State University's head men's basketball coach and the coach of the 2017 Division II National Champions. We look forward to both of the interviews. Thanks for joining the All Things Northwest team, and we hope you enjoy this month's edition. To begin, I welcome Greg McDaniel to All Things Northwest. Greg was born in Marshall, Missouri, and of course, listeners, you've heard Greg on this program before. To remind you, he attended Northwest Missouri State, graduating in 2002 with a BA in Geography and a minor in GIS, Geographic Information Systems. He has a master's degree in public administration with an urban emphasis. He has worked for the City of Independence, previously 7 years in public works administration, and also was the city administrator of Cherryvale, Kansas for 2.5 years, came back to Maryville, as you know, in 2012, and he was recently named as one of the top 50 Missourians you should know by Ingram's Magazine. Greg, we want to know more about you and certainly the city of Maryville and what's happening. Welcome to All Things Northwest.
Thank you.
Well, I'll tell you what, as we think about April 2017 and all that's happening across the city of Maryville, we know that in the last month, a lot of good news has taken place. Maybe talk to our listeners about all the good things happening throughout the city of Maryville.
Yeah, well, first and foremost, I mean, it's becoming a good fiscal year for us. We're starting on a good foot financially. We are in the process of wrapping up some of our major projects in construction on some others, including the Conference Center at Mazingo Lake Recreation Park. This month, we've been named one of the safest cities in Missouri, number 19 out of the top 50, as well as one of the top 20 micropolitan areas in the United States, and that's really important when it comes to Site Selection Magazine for Economic Development.
And Tree City, too, right?
Right. Tree City USA, it's our 18th annual designation from the Arbor Day Foundation, which clarifies our importance to trees in our community.
And that certainly ties into Northwest Missouri State being the state arboretum. And as you talk about being one of the safest cities, the micropolitan area, and, of course, being the Tree City, ties into our partnership and all that we do. I know you mentioned the conference center, and then we could talk about the Boulders Inn and Suites, and we'll be talking to Charlotte Dumke in just a few minutes here. But also then you add national championships, plural, Northwest Missouri State University, and so much to celebrate here in our community.
A lot of momentum here right now in the city of Maryville.
Let's talk about the conference center and the hotel out at Mazingo Lake Recreation Park. I think we read about the history of all this, and you have to have visionaries and so on, but talk about how this all came to be.
Yeah, really, the vision for this facility starts and ends with the citizens of Maryville. They were very supportive during the process of developing the 20-year master plan, the Mazingo Lake Master Plan, with the conference center being a top priority. I also want to give some credit to some initial council members on the project, the late Jim Fall, Councilman Glenn Jonigan, who were really pioneers in pushing staff to get this done, to be able to get a plan together to not only recruit a hotel through an economic development project, process, but also to come up with a financing plan and a package that is suitable for citizens of Maryville as far as the conference center is concerned.
Love your answer, starting with the citizens of Maryville, because that's what it's all about, and certainly driving economic development and tourism. I'll never forget, as a new president in July of 2009, I was invited to a breakfast at Hy-Vee, and guess who invited me? It was Jim Fall and Glenn John again, and yeah. They had one specific topic to talk about, and it certainly was this vision. So, and I know, by the way, that the city has dedicated the Fall Drive out there.
Right.
And let's talk about his vision specifically.
You know, Jim was a pioneer. Jim had a lot of vision for not only what the conference center and hotel could be, but really Mazingo as a whole. He envisioned it becoming that regional tourist destination that I believe we were able to validate last year through a third-party economic impact study, which stated that over 467,000 annual visitors now are coming to Mazingo on an annual basis, as well as generating over $9 million to the local economy through economic impact. So Jim had a vision of a freestanding conference center to become a premier event destination in the region, and I think that's what we're on the verge of providing.
I want to make sure we repeat that for our listeners. 467,000 visitors annually to Mazingo, and a $9 million impact.
Yes, that's tremendous.
Greg, you've mentioned the community, and as we think about the community's support of the conference center, how did that come about, and what would you say to the community?
Yeah, the eventual financing plan for the conference center centered around a new eighth of a cent sales tax to fund the construction and operation of the conference center. And so in April 2016, the voters supported this initiative, and I want to just say thank you on behalf of the community and city council for the citizens who supported this, and we look forward to seeing this project through and showing them a facility they can be proud of.
What I love about that, by the way, is that when you go to the voters, you say, this is what you're voting upon, and then you execute it. And I think that speaks highly of city staff and city administration.
Thank you.
Greg, talk about the features of the conference center.
It's in construction. Thankfully, for the mild winter weather, we have been ahead of schedule in construction. We're still looking at opening towards the end of this year. We're still going to start taking reservations for January 1st, 2018 and beyond, but really tremendous progress in construction. The facility is pretty amazing. It's going to feature meeting space for up to 500 people, a new golf pro shop with indoor swing bays, a third-party restaurant, and just a premier venue for a wedding, a corporate event, or any other event that you can think of, but it's going to really hinge on the views of the lake.
So the construction, Greg, with the mild winter weather is going along. You're talking about taking reservations, obviously for January 1, but when will you start taking reservations?
We're going to start taking reservations now. In mid-April, we're going to take a look at developing those policies and rates, getting that out to the public. We've got a significant waiting list of events that want to book as soon as we allow that to open.
And those events will range from what to what?
Looking at weddings and corporate events. There are corporate events that want to utilize the entire park. They want to use Moera. They want to stay at Boulder's Inn and Suites. They want to use the golf courses. So really the amenities we have are going to drive some of that business to the conference center, especially the Seacrest 18 and the Watson 9.
Indoor swing bays for golfers out there will allow them year-round to golf. So are you guaranteeing better golf scores if perhaps I go out there?
I believe so, yeah. I think today's golf simulators and indoor swing bays have become not only another revenue structure, but a way of the average golfer working on their golf game, as well as we see some very creative opportunities for developing winter leagues for seniors and keeping people active through those typical down months that we would have here in Northwest Missouri for weather.
That's just super. And then, of course, with being able to provide a facility that seats or provides space for 500 individuals, that means, as you think about the outdoor recreation area, the Boulder's Inn and Suites, the conference center, there's so many synergies that can take place. You mentioned corporate, but as you think about higher education, as you think about K-12, as you think about a variety of sectors out there, the use can be very wide open.
Yeah, the demand is there. We're really looking forward to those larger events, but we understand that we're going to have some of those smaller events that want to take advantage of that venue. And so the facility is also divisible by four, so you can have four smaller events going on at the same time. So it's really going to be a functional facility for our needs.
So if someone were to drive out to Mazinga Lake Recreation Park, here it's April 2017, where are we at in the construction phase in terms of what they would see?
Yeah, right now there are walls going up, so we're seeing the project come out of the ground. It's now vertical, and that's exciting. It's good to watch, and we're going to start seeing the building framed up, and then we're going to start seeing a lot of work happening on the interior. So really excited to see it all come together, and again, we've been fortunate to have a nice winter.
How does the facility support the other amenities at Mazinga Lake Recreation Park?
Really going to add on to the fact that we already do 25,000 rounds of golf a year at the Seacrest 18. We do an additional 5,000 rounds at the Watson 9, which had its inaugural year in 2016. And so we believe that this facility is just going to take those both off in a higher direction. Not to mention the other events that want to take advantage of the fishing tournaments or the events that we have throughout the park and the youth camp or the Moera. So it really is going to support all of our amenities to kind of bring it as a centralized facility for the park.
As you think about Mazinga's impact on our local economy and how all these projects benefit the region as a whole, maybe describe that for our listeners of All Things Northwest.
Yeah, again, Mazinga has a huge economic impact, and before this conference center, again, it was generating $9 million from outside visitors into the economy each year through sales to local businesses, and so we're really looking forward to increasing those numbers of attendees, and we know that our events are going to create spillover into the local economy. Even through Boulders Inn and Suites, there's going to be 40 rooms out there, and we know that these large events are going to need other hotel rooms and other restaurants in our community, so we're looking forward to seeing that impact.
And we'll talk about Boulders Inn and Suites in just a moment, but as you think about the summer, the fall, and then certainly into the next year or two, what's upcoming relative to city planning, Greg?
You know, we're getting really close to needing to update our comprehensive plan, and that's due to success. We've had a lot of success in the last 4 or 5 years of tackling that comprehensive plan, that 20-year plan, envisioning some of these realities like the conference center sooner than we anticipated. And so we'll need to get back and develop a continued vision of the community here before we know it.
That's great. We appreciate your leadership and certainly your staff and the city council, city leadership, for what you do as we continue to thrive as a community. Thank you, Greg McDaniel.
Thank you, John.
And now we'll transition to Charlotte Dumke and talk about Boulders Inn and Suites out of Mazinga Lake Recreation Park. Charlotte is originally from Bussey, Iowa, and is now the manager of the new Boulders Inn and Suites located out at Mazinga Lake and Recreation Areas I just mentioned. She's the first manager ever there. And the only manager ever there. How about that? Charlotte is the graduate of Northwest Missouri State University, a degree in restaurant, resort, food service management. While she was going to college here, she also worked for Northwest Catering and the Arbor Day Lodge in Nebraska City. Following graduation, she went to Michigan, Lansing, Michigan to be specific, as an assistant catering manager and later as catering manager at Michigan State University. Well, but when that opportunity to return home came, she got back here. And so she's been employed by Aramark at Northwest Missouri State University, and she was the catering manager for the past 16 years. We shed some tears as she moved on from Northwest, but not very far and still part of our community. Luckily, she went out to Boulders Inn and Suites. She's married to Howard Dumke, a third-grade teacher at Eugene Field Elementary School. They have two children, Garrett, 14, and Ava, 11. Charlotte, welcome to All Things Northwest.
Thank you, Dr. Nick.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's great to have you, and of course, you know how we at Northwest Missouri State feel about you and your longtime service. And when I say service, I mean superlative service, Charlotte. But let's first talk about your time at Northwest before we get to Boulders Inn and Suites. I'm going to say academics, athletics, and service, because sometimes people don't know. I mean, obviously, academics helped you along in your career. Some people may not know about the athletic side and then, obviously, service side.
Okay. I went to Northwest, obviously. I was a food service major and back when they had it with dietetics, and I also was on the cross-country and track team going through school. Still run when I try to find time. And when I did my internship and stuff, I also did that with Tantera and through my education through Northwest. And then came back to Northwest because I really enjoyed the community. I really loved the feel of the campus, and I thought it'd be a good fit for me to come back at that time.
And you kept running during those 16 years, for sure. You were cruising and putting in the miles across campus and everywhere else. But you've transitioned now recently, and so how is that transition going for you?
It's been going really good. There's still a lot of the same links that I used to have from the university. I still have contacts with a lot of the same customers. I still see people coming to the hotel that are linked to the university, baseball recruits or families that are coming to watch baseball games, typically in this season, and recruits for other sports. So it's nice to see that. I also see a lot of the same people that I deal with some of the businesses in town when I did caterings for them and helping them with those as well, and still dealing with brides.
And then maybe talk about the Boulder Inn & Suites, the history of the company as they transition here.
Boulder Inn & Suites, they started in 2008. Maryville is actually their 13th location, and I'm the only location out of the state of Iowa, so that's kind of unique. They have done some training with me in Okoboji, and they sent me also to Fort Madison for a couple weeks just to kind of see the other hotels. But every hotel has been unique that I've gone to. Every hotel has been different and kind of a different feel for how it's linked to the community and linked to the area. And I feel the Mazinga one has that special link that makes me a little bit different, even from all the other ones that they do have.
And we'll talk about that special link in just a minute. But you talk about being onboarded, you know, oriented to Boulder's Inn & Suites and the various facilities and the expectations for service and so on. But as you think about going through that process of needing to hire individuals, actually opening a new hotel, which just happened here in the last month. Talk about that, the hiring of individuals and actually getting ready for day one and opening the hotel.
We had great support from the community. I had a great outpouring for interviews. I did 2 days of interviews, and I believe I had around 65 interviews in 2 days. So I had a huge interest of people wanting to be a part of what's happening out at Mazingo. The people that I did hire on are pretty excited because they're actually going to see it from the ground up, from it being a construction point, just being drywall dust, to actually made beds and pillows and everything set in place. So to have that sense of ownership in it, I guess you could say, is kind of what's kind of neat for these people. And we are learning as we go. I mean, we are. It's a continual process, and I'm sure it won't stop for a while. So, but they are really excited. I'm really happy with the staff that I have gotten, and they've been learning quickly, which is great.
And Charlotte, how many rooms are at Boulder's Inn & Suites, and what kind of rooms are offered?
I have 40 rooms at the inn, and 20 of those are standard 2 queen bed rooms, and the rest are a makeup. I have a couple family suites that sleep 6, so there'll be 2 queen beds and then a queen sleeper sofa. I also have some studio queens and some studio kings and some larger king rooms, and I do have 1 jacuzzi suite as well. So a lot of them have some great views, though. That's what's kind of unique about this hotel. There really isn't too bad of a view from any window. It also makes it kind of neat. We have guests calling and asking for 4th of July which window, which room would be the best view of the lake and of the fireworks. So that's kind of neat to see. People are already gearing up for that.
Great to hear. And you really did talk about those special links. Obviously, the views are one special feature. Any other special features to talk about?
I think it's just really, I've had a lot of interest of people wanting to utilize everything that's at Mazingo, not just the hotel. They're wanting to utilize the golf course. Your family's using the cabins, but yet they need a little bit of overflow for that to have everyone accommodated. They want to use the Mohara, and they want to do the challenge courses, and they're kind of making a week of it. And I've had a lot of neat outreach of just former alumni that now work for different corporations that now are coming back and saying, hey, let's come to Maryville, let's go to the lake, let's use Mazingo. So that's been kind of neat to see that continued alumni support too, and how they're bringing people in.
So really I'm hearing a link between the Inn & Suites and being a conduit to the rest of the array of activities available at Mazingo Lake and Recreation mm-hmm. Park. That's beautiful. And so as you think about users, and if we were to go out there and stay, what would you want me, my family, our listeners here of All Things Northwest, what do you want us to walk away from in terms of an experience at Boulder's Inn & Suites?
Well, I want you to know that you had a good stay and that you enjoyed the amenities and stuff that we do offer at the hotel, but also to enjoy what the overall package that you get at Mazingo, the retreat getaway destination location of that, and thinking of it not just as a hotel room, but thinking of it as a place to golf, walk, have the kids play at the park, utilize the beach, utilize everything and all the amenities that it does have, and think of it more than just a night at a hotel.
As you think about your first month now that you've been open, what has been the biggest surprise maybe, or the surprises? And also, what's the best part of being open now after a month?
Well, surprises. We were probably busier than what I first anticipated that we'd be starting out of the gate, which I guess is a good thing. But having the new staff and everyone getting used to it, sometimes it's kind of best just to get thrown in a little bit and just start. And so we were to that point. We were just ready to start getting off the ground running with it rather than, you know, anticipation of it all. So it's kind of nice just to be in that process and to be open and to see that interest that we have. We have had a lot of interest. One of the things Boulders has told me is like our Facebook page had over 22,000 views on it, which is huge. They've never had a Facebook page have that many views for them as an in-suite. So they know there's a lot of community support. There's a lot of excitement about what's happening out there.
Well, Charlotte Dumpke, thank you for your leadership, for being the manager at Boulders Inn & Suites at Mazinga Lake Recreation Park. We miss you here, but we also see you, and we know that you're interacting with not just Northwest Missouri State University Bearcats, but community members, alumni, and tourists coming in to really understand that this is such a special, special place. Charlotte, thank you very much for joining us on All Things Northwest.
You're welcome.
Listeners, you heard from Charlotte Dumpke, manager, Boulders Inn & Suites, and also Greg McDaniel, city manager of the city of Maryville. So pleased with what's going on around our community. And speaking of that, when we return to All Things Northwest, we'll visit with Northwest men's head basketball coach and your national champion head coach of the 2017 Northwest Missouri State University men's basketball team, Coach Ben McCollum. You're listening to All Things Northwest on KXCV Maryville, KRNW, Chillicothe.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from Atchison Holt Electric Cooperative, providing power to members in Northwest Missouri and Southwest Iowa. Atchison Holt Electric reminds you to be safe this planting season by knowing the locations of power lines and keeping farm equipment at least 10 feet away. More information is at ahec.coop. Support for KXCV KRNW comes from the Clarinda Regional Health Center, celebrating its 75th anniversary. CRHC has been providing health care in Southwest Iowa and Northwest Missouri since 1939. More at clarindahealth.com. Support for All Things Northwest comes from the City of Maryville, home to Mazinga Lake Recreation Park. The park offers residents and visitors two golf courses, camping facilities, lakeside cabin rentals, as well as a hotel and conference center coming in 2017. More information about the park's offering and amenities is at MazingaLake.com.
Welcome back to the April edition of All Things Northwest. I'm your host, John Jasinski. We'll now visit with Ben McCollum. You know him as the national championship head coach right here at Northwest Missouri State University. Ben was named head coach at Northwest prior to the 2009-10 season, and he's the program's 20th head coach in history. He earned the 2012 Clarence Big House Gaines National Coach of the Year, and just recently, last month, was named the 2017 National Coach of the Year again. His teams have had six straight 20-win seasons. They've won five of the last six MIAA regular season titles, including the last four straight. His teams were the 2015 and 16 and 2016 and 17 MIAA tournament champions, something no MIAA program has ever done, winning back-to-back tournament championships. He's led his teams to four straight NCAA regional tournament championship games, 2014, 15, 16, all in the Sweet 16, and then certainly this year here in 2017 on to that historic run and the national championship. In his eighth season as head coach, he has a 141-70 career record prior to the start of the campaign, but of course you add 35-1 to that. Northwest getting to the Elite Eight for the third time in program history, but then advancing beyond that for the first time in the program history and obviously winning that national championship. We also broke the school's record for all-time wins in a season that was held by Henry Iba and the squad back in the 1930s. His overall record to date is 176-71, and that places him second all-time in program history victories. Four-time MIAA Coach of the Year. His players have won so many awards, but ladies and gentlemen, I just want to say that his players, they graduate and they go off and become great citizens. because of master mentorship, teaching, and coaching. Ben, before he came back to Northwest, served for 4 years as an assistant under David Moe at Emporia State. He got his start in college coaching as a graduate assistant at Northwest under head coach Steve Tapmeyer, and then he obviously replaced Tapmeyer. During his two seasons as a graduate assistant, Northwest went 58-8 and returned to the Elite Eight for the second time in program history. But before we bring Ben to the mic here, we need to talk about him being a player here at Northwest. He helped lead the Bearcats to a 51-12 record, including a 29-3 mark during the 2001-02 campaign. And that was our first Elite Eight appearance back then. A native of Storm Lake, Iowa, he earned his bachelor's degree in finance before earning a master's degree in athletic administration, both from Northwest. His wife, Michelle, and his kids, Peyton, Tate, and Grace, the McCollum family, such a special gift to our community in Northwest Missouri State University. Coach Ben McCollum, welcome to All Things Northwest.
Thanks for having me.
A long intro, but I think for listeners of All Things Northwest, very, very important to hear about the background. A couple of weeks have passed since we won the national championship. First of all, talk about the run-up to the beginning of the season, the preseason, what happened after last year's end of the season, summer, and all of that.
Well, we played last season in the Sweet 16. We played against Augustana. It was a packed gym. Close game. We ended up losing by 2 points. With 4.6 seconds, a kid hit two free throws and ended up losing that basketball game. And we had been there for three straight seasons. After that game, I think we got back the next day, and it was the next day. I walk in the gym, and I see almost our whole team in the gym getting shots, getting ready for the next season, getting in the weight room. Zach Schneider really led them to make sure that they worked over the summer, really made sure that they were in the gyms throughout the summer. They then went and played in a pro-am during the summer, and all of them showed up to all the games, is my understanding, and I believe they ended up winning the pro-am, where they had a lot of Division I kids, a lot of KU, K-State, former players and whatnot, some professional players, and won that. And you could see a different level of hunger throughout that summer. I think everybody stayed around for the most part, got bigger, stronger, faster, got more shots, and just showed their hunger. Got to the preseason, and it was almost like I didn't have to coach anymore. You get there, and we make the schedule, and obviously we make the workouts very, very difficult in the preseason, but they just attacked every single one of them. And the only battle that I had to fight throughout the whole preseason, and I can remember saying it almost daily, was good's the enemy of great, and we wanted to make sure that we were great, and we had a lot of good workouts. We didn't have a single bad day in the preseason. But we wanted to have great workouts. And as the season progressed, it started to trend towards great in that preseason. And even October 15th to our first game, we started to have great workouts and great energy rather than good energy and good workouts. It was probably one of the more challenging preseasons for me just because of that. Because you can get fooled into thinking that you're doing the right things because they never had a bad day, literally, as a group. So it was a challenge to get our team to go from that good to great. And I felt like we did it. I felt like we got them to start having great practices and great energy rather than just good. And obviously you see the results of that with a national title.
How did you take them from good to great practices and energy?
What we try to get out of our preseason now, obviously some strength, some conditioning things, but most importantly is to build our culture. That's how we build our culture in the preseason. So we get them up early at 5 a.m. and come into the weight room. And every team in the country, we say, is getting up early in the morning. What we want is, do I get up early in the morning? Do I work hard? That's two challenges. And do I do it with a smile on my face while cheering on my teammates? And those last two pieces we feel like are the mental toughness aspect. Anybody can break down a wall of, hey, I'm tired. Can I push myself a little bit further? Can I do something a little bit more? Anybody can do that. But can they do that while cheering on their teammates with a good attitude and a smile on their face? And that, to me, is mental toughness. And that's what we really challenge them to do the whole preseason, is go from, yeah, okay, we know that you're tough, but can you do that and then make somebody else better while you're doing that and do it with a great attitude and want to continue to do it? And so we challenged them to do that the whole preseason, and that's what got us from good to great.
And I know you focus on the process, but I remember talking to you preseason before the first game, and you obviously had high expectations, you and the coaching staff.
we wanted to win a national title, and we wanted to make sure that everybody was very aware that that's what we were trying to do. And the expectation was there. Our kids knew that. And to be able to still win it with that expectation while taking everybody's best shots just shows the kind of kids that we have in our program and their mental toughness.
So let's walk through that season then. Obviously, MIAA regular season and the MIAA conference tournament down in Kansas City at Municipal Auditorium. So maybe talk about the MIAA, both the regular and then into the post-tourney season.
Yeah, as far as the regular season, we try to find little things that motivate them throughout, and there was multiple records that we broke where we won consecutive games in a row. I'm not even sure how many it was. And then home win records, just so many different records. And so we put those all in front of them and made sure that they understand that they were breaking them. We were ranked number one, I believe, before Christmas at some point.
Yes, we were. Yeah.
And ranked number one total for about 10 to 12 weeks because we finished the season ranked number one as well. And when you're ranked number one, it's a lot different than even number two, just because of the shots that you take from people. Because Missouri Western doesn't get that many chances to play a number one team in the country, because generally the number one team in the country isn't in our league just because it's such a difficult league. And so Missouri Western, Missouri Southern, Pitt State, all those guys get an opportunity to try and knock off number one. Our kids handled every single shot that those teams gave them and obviously delivered their own. And that says a lot about these kids and how they're able to get themselves ready each and every day.
Just about impossible to go undefeated in basketball, and you had a blemish in February down in Joplin at Missouri Southern. Talk about after the game and how the team responded.
Well, for that game, we didn't show up. We didn't control tempo. We didn't do a lot of things. And Missouri Southern played really, really well that night. They gave us probably the most fits in the second two games that any team had given us all season. With that game, oh, I think with about a minute left to go, we knew that we were beat. And we pulled them all out, and I celebrated with them. I mean, that was kind of my message to them was, now the beautiful thing about this is we get an opportunity to celebrate all the accomplishments that you've had. I think you can look at those losses as a negative and get upset with them and whatnot and your performance, but I thought our kids did play hard in that game, and I wanted them to make sure that they understood what they had accomplished, and then you just move past it. You don't watch the film. You just move past it and know that that was just one of those games. And I think it refreshed us, though, a little bit. I think it made us a little more hungry, and obviously you saw the result of that in the national title.
End up the regular season, go down to Kansas City's Municipal Auditorium, and how did you approach the MIAA tourney?
That was almost more difficult than even the Elite Eight. I thought the conference tournament and the regional were probably the two most pressure-packed for our kids tournaments that we had. With the conference tournament, it was, we really don't want to face an MIAA team in the first round of the national tournament. You know, and so we come in and we beat Lincoln, and probably the worst two matchups we could possibly have we had in the first two rounds. I mean, Lincoln, for a nine seed, is pretty darn good, and they have guys that can really play, and so came out ready, came out focused, and we love that tournament just because Northwest draws so many in Kansas City. And then Missouri Southern, and that was the team that beat us and really put up a fight. We had to hit a game winner with very few seconds left on the clock, and fortunate to win that one. And then Central Missouri, I thought we relaxed a little bit, made the championship, and then were able to beat them. And fortunate enough to not face a conference opponent first round of the national tournament.
Well, of course, many of us have wanted to host a regional championship tournament here in Maryville at Northwest Missouri State. We've been close over the years, and then all of a sudden we host the regional, the central region. And as it turns out, that's a pretty pressure-packed scenario, is it not?
Yeah, and we've never done it, and so we weren't exactly ready for it. Part of it is you go in and your kids are, you don't realize how nervous they are and how much the outside pressure comes in where they're walking around campus and, hey, we're coming to the game tonight. Hey, I hear you're hosting the regional. Congratulations. And, you know, I call it, I guess, you kind of drink the poison a little bit. And it's hard to flush that out. And we got into that first game, and I think you become scared to lose. And the pressure was so overwhelming. Our kids got tired really quick in that first game. I didn't think we played comfortable at all. And again, that was one of those games that we were very, very lucky to win that game. That game probably was the toughest game that we played all season. And it just showed our grittiness because we just didn't play well at all. And so it came down to who was tougher at the end. And our kids fortunately were.
That was Upper Iowa. Then we beat Augustana, the defending national champions. You go and face for the championship game of the Central Region, Minnesota State. And Ben, you've compared, I've read, the crowd here to kind of an Allen Fieldhouse. But talk about that experience of that championship game here on campus.
Yeah, all three games, they were sold out. And the championship in particular, it was fairly overwhelming when you walk out and it's so loud in there, and every play everybody's into. Every defensive stand, they're cheering. And you can't call plays. They can't hear you whatsoever. Their team couldn't hear each other, which makes a big difference in how they approach things offensively. And then just the overwhelming Maryville community coming out and showing how much they love Northwest and the basketball team and showing their appreciation was unreal.
That was spectacular to see some more nets being cut down. But, of course, the story's not done yet because we go on to Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and the Elite Eight. Listeners, by the way, you're listening to All Things Northwest on KXV Maryville, KNW Chillicothe. I'm your host, John Jasinski, president of Northwest Missouri State University, but today talking with the head men's basketball coach at Northwest, Coach Ben McCollum, national championship coach. And, Coach, you get to Sioux Falls. It's a grind up there. If you look back a few weeks ago, it wasn't just get there and play three games. You get there on a Monday or something, and you've got several days to get the team ready, but it's away from the confines. So talk about how you got the team ready for that first game.
Well, it was probably the most relaxing tournament that I've ever been a part of. And our kids were relaxed. They were refreshed because we got to face teams from outside of our region. Everybody in our region has seen us play so many times because we've been to the Sweet 16 every single time. And so we've almost played all the good teams, and it becomes difficult when they've seen you so much. When we got there, I think it was Monday, we got to practice at Creighton on the way up there, got up there and just enjoyed our time, and we made sure that it was about having fun and then obviously trying to win it. But they were just so relaxed. Our preparation going into that week was unbelievable. They were engaged the whole time. They were focused. Again, it felt like there was just a major relief of pressure after we won that Sweet 16. And we got past that point that it was almost like we got there and now we've got a new team. It was that refreshing. And so that first round game could come soon enough. And we were fortunate enough to beat St. Thomas Aquinas in that first round game.
And, of course, they pressed, and that probably helped a little bit for the championship game. But Elite Eight, Final Four, and the national championship. But, boy, we had fans there, and that was significant, that support.
I think that says a lot about athletics. And I've said this before in other venues, is that athletics is so important to a university because it brings the university as a whole together. And it brings alums together to celebrate, you know, success and to celebrate what these kids have accomplished. And you see that anywhere you go within a 5-6 hour radius of Maryville. And you see how special Northwest Missouri State alums are and how special Maryville is, the community there, and how special the athletics programs are here. And I think that's, again, why athletics is so important. But, yeah, up there, I mean, even for the championship game, you walk out and it felt like a national championship game. I mean, it was full. It was sold out. And it was loud, and it was a lot of green. And I think that helped us. I don't think they've played in an environment like that where it was so loud. They couldn't call plays, couldn't call all their defenses, couldn't talk on all their switches defensively. And I thought that that helped us win that basketball game.
And back to the semifinal, Ben, playing Lincoln Memorial, they had lost in the championship game. So they had some real motivation there. But you guys were able to get past what was a great Lincoln Memorial team in that semifinal game.
They were super talented. Yeah, both teams. I mean, Lincoln Memorial in particular was as talented as a team as we had faced all season. We knew it was going to be a physical game. We knew that the offensive rebound extremely well, probably better than anyone we had faced. At halftime, I look at the stat sheet, and they had zero offensive rebounds. We'll keep it very simple, but we have little details that we make sure that we execute, and one of them was to make sure on every defensive rebound that we box them out, we hit them. And it seems simple, but our kids do it every time, and they don't ever forget, and they don't make that mistake. And when you do that to a team that really relies on offensive rebounds and takes difficult shots, it naturally frustrates them throughout a whole game. And I thought that was the difference in that basketball game. Then the second half, Zach Schneider got free. We ran a few things that we hadn't shown. We had put in probably a month and a half ago, and we hadn't ran it in a game. and ran it that second half at about the 15-minute mark and just continued to run it over and over. And fortunately, it worked. It started to free some stuff up. And then after that, it was all downhill. Then once you get just in the lead with 5-6 minutes to go, you might as well just call it a game.
I really had the distinct pleasure to go to the practices before the semifinal game and the championship. And what you put in and then what the players executed worked.
Yeah, that's kind of, I guess, how my mind works. If you saw my chicken scratches before you go up there, you'd be like, oh, this is... And then you go and put it in, and it's like, oh, okay, he actually does know what he's talking about a little bit. And, you know, for our kids, they really listen, and they really believe and trust me. And so when you put those things in, and it's not like it's rocket science. We really try to simplify it so that it's not 100 different things, but it's enough that it'll give us just enough of an advantage to be able to win the basketball game. In both games, I thought they executed perfectly what we needed to, especially the championship, just the press breakers that we had in, had 3 or 4 in, and they met their passes. They pass faked. They always looked up the floor. All the little things that you teach when first grade, that's what they did. And they believe in those little details, and they're not too cool to do them.
Did you and your team, did you expect that that place would be like that, sold out and sea of green when you walked
out? I thought it would be a sea of green. I didn't think it would be sold out. That was pretty impressive. I was hoping that it would, and then you walk out, and it was like, oh my, this is what a national championship game should feel like. This is awesome.
Pretty fun. And I also heard a little story about what you told the team just a couple minutes before the start of the game, something about your son and a loss. Is that true?
Oh, yeah. You're talking about it's okay if we lose?
Yeah.
That one? My boys, both of them really want to make sure that we win consistently. And a lot of it is because it's almost like if I lose, their dad's going to be so upset and they don't want to see me so upset. So I just talked to my kids beforehand, my two boys, and told them, hey, if we lose, it's okay. It's not a big deal. We're still champions, and I just want to make sure that you guys compete. I want to make sure that you guys fight and compete, and the results will take care of themselves. And for my two kids, obviously, they'd be devastated if we lost, and a lot of it's because they think I'd be devastated. But it's just basketball, and I was just happy they competed.
Well, how'd you feel once we won? Well, once that final second ticks off?
It's fairly surreal. And it was about 30 seconds left. Kind of knew it was coming. And, you know, obviously then me and Coach Meyer celebrated real quick. And then you want to make sure that you shake the other team's hands. I think too often teams celebrate a little preemptive. The coaching staffs, the kids, go celebrate, have fun. But I wanted to make sure that the other team understood that I respected their accomplishment. And so we went and shook hands. And right after that, it was excitement. It's pretty overwhelming. Just to even play in a national title game, you see that growing up, CBS Sports, and you've watched it all the way through, and you hear that music that CBS plays every single year, and that was for you. And then the confetti and all that stuff, and then being able to cut down those nets, and you essentially win your last game. That's just doesn't happen. It happens to one team, and we were fortunate enough to do that.
I know that you told me that the day after the game, you were able to watch the game in a recorded fashion, but how did it feel to you when you watched the game the next day?
Well, I watched it, and just being a basketball, I really like basketball. Our kids played even better than I thought. It was a clinic on how you handle the press and how you defend a team that averages 96 points a game. And I don't mean to try to brag whatsoever, but it was just a thing of beauty as far as basketball goes, and probably the best teams that I'll ever coach just as far as execution and doing the things they're supposed to do to win.
Well, it was an incredible season, Coach, and as you think back to getting started in coaching, what drew you to the profession?
I wanted to make a difference on kids' lives, and that was what it was. I graduated with and I'm surprised you pronounced it right, a finance degree. Went to work for Wells Fargo for about 3 months, and I was doing well, and I enjoyed it, but I didn't feel like I was making a difference in people's lives. And so I came back to Coach Tapmeyer and said, hey, I'd like to come back and help you guys out. He says, well, we don't have any money for you. You'd have to pay your own way to graduate school and obviously pay for your own rent and whatnot. And then he followed it up with, are you crazy? And you actually want to get into college coaching? Why would you want to do something like that? And the rest is history. I worked for him for a year for free, and then the next year I got the graduate assistant's job, and then I went to Emporia State and worked my way through.
Well, successful along the way, as we read early on in your bio, as a player, as a GA, certainly going on and working with David Moe at Emporia State. And frankly, you've told me before, though, You had all kinds of jobs, cleaning up the bus after the games and after the road trips and all that, but that all helps you get ready to be a head coach.
Yeah, I drove the bus. I was the bus driver.
Oh, you actually drove it too?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I was the assistant in Emporia State. They come in and said, yeah, we need you to get your CDL. And I said, what's CDL? I said, your bus license. I said, okay, am I a bus driver? And yeah, you're going to drive the bus. And so I went and took my bus driving test and passed it with flying colors. I had to back through some cones, which is very, very difficult. But I did it and got my CDL. And I was the bus driver for the Emporia State basketball team, assistant coach and scouter and recruiter. And so it was what it was. I was going to do anything I needed to do to reach my goals. And one of them was, I think I wrote it down when I was a graduate assistant my first year. One of my goals, and I'm not sure if I still have the sheet of paper, but it was to become a Division II head coach by the age of 27 or a Division I assistant coach by the age of 27. I want to say it was right around April 12th, if not April 12th, which is my birthday, I got the head job at the age of 27 at Northwest Missouri State. And so I accomplished that goal, which was a pretty unbelievable deal that I was able to do that.
We wish you a happy birthday tomorrow, Coach McCullum. That's pretty prophetic and perfect for our fans to hear. But you talk about culture wins. Talk about what culture wins really means to you.
Well, what we found is if you get kids into your program and you develop basically the qualities that you want in each kid, whether it's hard work, selfless attitude, serving others, putting others in front of yourself, those types of qualities, being in a good mood, bringing positive energy, all those different things, and you only get kids that do those things over time, that snowballs and creates, I guess, what we call the culture of excellence, where that's the expectation, and it's an unwritten expectation. It's just, it starts to snowball and it starts to form, and everybody knows what is expected of them throughout. And so for our culture, ours was just effort, just being unselfish and bringing positive energy daily to everything that you do. And over time, if you stick with those process things, you'll get the results that you want, which would be the culture wins part.
And it's pretty obvious, too, as you look at the engagement of our student athletes and those that are on the bench, pregame and practices at 5 a.m., that engagement is very clear there. As you think about having that culture, being positive, setting high expectations, and not slinking down from your goals. As you look back at this unbelievably historic season, is there anything that stands out more than anything else throughout the season?
Our seniors, I don't think anybody realizes outside of the people in our program how special those kids are individually and how much they've given to this university, how much they've given to the community of Maryville. You saw people come out and the excitement that it generates, and what it does is it brings this community together, and those three seniors are a big reason. I said this in my post game, and I've said it to multiple people, and I'll continue to say it. Once the game got over, I was excited that we won, but I was very, very disappointed that I don't get to see those kids on a daily basis. They won't make me better like they did for an entire season. They're going to be unbelievably successful after Northwest Missouri State, but those are the three kids that will probably stand out the most. And the thing that will stand out the most is how well they led. Zach Schneider in particular just always has good days. Every day is a good day. Every day he gives effort. Every day he's ready. And I think that feeds into the other kids, and those kids understand that, hey, Zach plays 40 minutes a game and he's always ready. I better have myself ready as well.
This is a lot for Zach Schneider, Devontae Mosby, and Anthony Woods as the seniors, but obviously coaching staff, Coach Meyer, Coach Peterson, yourself, and that whole support system. We talk a lot about that, but Nick Peters, athletic training, all the way up and down the line, the parents, so many people that are involved in a successful season, so we want to make sure we call them out. We didn't talk about awards and won't talk a lot about those, but if you think about being National Coach of the Year, what comes with being named the National Coach of the Year?
For me, what I want is championships. And if you win championships, you're essentially Coach of the Year, is my theory on that. And so the best coach generally wins championships because it's not necessarily the team. I think a good leader is they get the best people they can possibly get underneath them, and then they let them do their jobs. And for us, that's what I feel like we've done as a program. I've got one of the best assistants in the country. I'm baffled as to how more people aren't coming after him right now. Just want to make sure I make that public. Now, I don't want to lose him, but don't get me wrong. And Austin Meyer, and then obviously some of the best players in the staff, Andy Peterson and Nick Peters and Christian Phelps, and then my managers. And so the coach of the year is essentially coaches of the year. And I wouldn't be half as good a coach without those people, without the players that I have, those types of things. And I genuinely believe that. I know a few of my strengths are, and I can bring a lot of energy to a room. I can be very positive. I'm fairly tough, I think. I can also tell who has those qualities as well. I've just always had a good eye for good people and quality people. And fortunately enough, I made some of the right calls on which people are going to be in our program, and that's what you see. And so then, obviously, I get some of the glory for it.
What does the head men's basketball coach at Northwest Missouri State University do away from basketball? What do you enjoy?
Play with my kids. That's the main thing. Coach a few baseball teams for my kids. Help coach a few basketball teams. It was interesting because the assistant for Maryville High coaches both of my kids, actually. And he looks down, and I'm his assistant some games. He goes, boy, it's nice to have Division II Coach of the Year as your assistant coach. So, yeah, it's interesting.
How do you do on the bench on those games?
I actually am really good as an assistant because I understand the perspective. So I just give suggestions, and I don't ever overstep my bounds. And it's a lot more fun to be the assistant because, you know, it's the head coach's fault if we lose. And so I just blame it on him. But no, and then I fish. Love to fish. That's my other thing. So I go out quite a bit doing that.
Well, we hope you get a chance to enjoy your family and certainly fish in the off season. I know people will be asking about next season and who we'll open up with and Duke and all this other. But let's enjoy what we have today and say thank you, Coach Ben McCollum, for all that you've done, your staff and seniors and the entire team.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Well, we appreciate you. Head coach Ben McCollum, National Coach of the Year, National Champion Coach here at Northwest Missouri State University. And that's a wrap for this month's show. All Things Northwest is a program devoted to all the good about the people, places, events, and stories of our region. We thank our guests, Greg McDaniel, Maryville City Manager, and Charlotte Dumke, Manager of the Boulders Inn and Suites at Mazingo Lake Recreation Park. We thank also Ben McCollum, the National Championship Head Coach, 2017 Division II Men's Basketball team here at Northwest Missouri State University. Thanks, too, to our producer, Kayla Morgan, a student here at Northwest Missouri State, along with KXCB station manager, Rodney Harris. Friends, we here at Northwest talk about being a Bearcat, and we encourage you to join our students and all of us in being partners as we address all five elements of being a Bearcat: learning, caring, connecting, practicing civility, and showing pride in Northwest, and certainly public radio. Take good care. Keep celebrating and advancing our region. I'm John Chasinski. Thanks for your support of All Things Northwest, KXCB Maryville, KRNW Chillicothe, and public radio.
Theme music for the program was composed by Northwest professor Dr. William Richardson. The music was recorded by Vocal Music Education major Jordan Andrews, piano, Music major Daniel Bates, bass, Audio and Production major Mark Ludwig, drums, and Dr. William Richardson, trumpet. The program is produced by Broadcast Production major Kayla Morgan. Join us again next month for All Things Northwest.